TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Top of the morning, Portland. What's going on? This is your boy, Rashad Taylor. My guy, Joe Fisher, is not feeling well. Hopefully, he is feeling a little better. That means, man, the kids are all alone, man. I got my guy, Jordan Schultz, behind the glass. What's up, Schultzy?
Yo, maybe he caught what I have, because I've been sick for like 2 weeks. Thought I was getting better on Monday, then it kind of just came back. So I hope. I don't think I touched Joe. I don't think like we fist bumped or anything this week. So
it's going around.
Yeah, you can't blame it on me, but I'll take the blame.
It is that time of year. It is going around. So please stay safe out there. This is Sports Saturday on 105.1 The Fan, 1080 The Fan, The Fan Sports Network. We are out here. However you want to listen to us, we are available, except for on the Spotify, because I believe we are still banned. Question mark?
Oh, that'll never change.
How come? How? Okay. I know Boss Man's not listening now.
Oh, he is.
Because he's working. Well, he probably is. More than likely.
Are you kidding me?
He is,
he's on his way down to the game right now.
Okay. As since he's on his way down to the game, he's got time to shoot a quick email to Spotify to figure out, man, why the hell Football Saturday and Sports Saturday all of a sudden.
Oh, they already figured this out. It was copyrighted music on the segments that's been cut like every other show.
Yeah, so I was going to say, what producer here, you know, is Kanye making beats for primetime?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
No, so, not that I know of. In fact, I think we'd probably be canceled here on 105.1 The Fan if that were true.
Oh, so. Yeah, more than likely. Either way, you can watch us on YouTube, 105.1 The Fan, 1080 The Fan, Fan Sports, and however you want to listen, we are here available. It is a beautiful day out here, man. I don't see any rain. It's just a little foggy for now, but you can expect that on a crisp Oregon morning, 6 a.m. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, man. It's 6:02.
I feel like that's normal, though, for this time of year, right? Like, the foggy days in Portland town kind of come right around Thanksgiving, going into Christmas. Like, if it's not snowing, I love that we've got fog here in the Pacific Northwest right now.
I'm down. It is nice to see.
Comforting.
It is nice to see early in the morning. You know, if you want to get out and get a nice little run in, it's a nice, you know, refreshing little run. But still, I got to be honest, I'm still not used to being up every day at 6. And I know we're coming to that point in the year to where a lot of our hosts are going to start taking a lot of vacation time. And so that means, you know, Dirt and Sprague are probably going to be taking a little break too. So you're going to need somebody to do that. 6 a.m. is early. I'm down for it.
Get it.
It's definitely, man.
It's a hard wake-up call.
It is a hard wake-up. We appreciate you for listening. If you are on your way out to Eugene, more than likely you're going to be there for arguably the biggest game of Oregon season. I think this is the biggest game of Oregon season, as Oregon will host the USC Trojans. We'll talk about that today. But, man, like, it is that time of year. Football starting to wind down. Getting closer to playoffs, we're starting to talk more and more playoffs for, you know, at least college and NFL. I think we're starting to preview playoffs. So teams are already 10 games in. So there's only 7 games left in the season, you know, a little over a month and a half left in the season. So hold on to it, man. What's been your favorite part so far this, any part in the football season, college, NFL, whatever? Have you had like your favorite part so far?
I mean, college has kind of been up and down all year. It's like Oregon season hasn't quite, you know, gone as many people expected the fact that they're playing USC, and we'll get into it as what now is the biggest game of the season, and it's a top 15 matchup. Nobody really predicted that coming in. So interesting that we're at that point, and that it was Indiana that was, you know, kind of the one that ruffled Oregon's skirt. But yeah, we got a couple of segments for that. As far as the NFL goes, the fact that the AFC is more wide open than it's been in a long time.
Also something we'll talk about later.
Yeah, and over to the NFC to toot, you know, the horn of my Los Angeles Rams. They look like one of the better teams in the NFC right now, 8-2. Their young defense is just looking stoutly so far, man. Verse just continues to confuse people, and Aaron Donald leaving, a lot of people would say, earlier in his career than maybe he should have, left a lot in the tank at, what, 33?
That's the way you want to do it,
though. Yeah, exactly. But he left years on the field for a team that really needed that defensive help. And when you're the star of a defense, oh, no, what are they going to do? Everybody thought the Rams were just going to S themselves going forward. Kind of Matt Stafford, the end of his career was going to be nothing. And, well, that's quite the opposite. And I'm excited to see. They're actually Sunday Night Football hosts to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend. I'm stoked to see what they can do. They, to me, in the NFC, are the Super Bowl favorites right now outside of, I don't know, maybe like an up-and-down Philly. So there's a couple of things in the NFL that have surprised me for sure. And one of those things being the Rams and the other being the wide-open AFC. The Chefs? Huh? Like,
yeah, right.
Are they on top anymore? Is their reign done? Is it Buffalo? Oh, no. As we saw on Thursday, literally the week that people were starting to talk about Josh Allen taking the mantle of the AFC and the Buffalo Bills finally being the ones on top. Nope. It's a wacky one this season.
No, it is. It's definitely wacky. I'm a big fan of always seeing like some underdog or somebody that we kind of wrote off get a chance to get the last ha-ha. So it's been really cool to see. Shout out to Davis Mills and what he's been able to do over the past, what, three games for the Houston Texans. Yeah, you know, so.
Unbelievable.
And I think they've got the Texans not thinking playoffs. I don't know if they should be doing that right now. But, I mean, with that AFC South, like, it is a good chance that the Texans can do some crazy stuff. And it's all thanks to the play of, who would have thought, Davis Mills, you know?
Absolutely.
And then you look for the San Francisco 49ers, and you look at Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who knew?
McCorkle having a resurgence.
Who knew? Like, and as a Patriots fan, like, you always have a little resentment towards guys that were good, that were supposed to be good for you, and then they go to another team, and they're like, oh, that's what they were supposed to be. And to watch Mac, I mean, I'm not even mad. That's amazing. Like, for him to be playing as well as he's been able to play, which now, is there a quarterback controversy in San Francisco?
I don't think there's a quarterback controversy. I think they'll go with
what San Francisco has shown is if somebody, and this is historic, if somebody has a hot hand, they'll stay with it. Remember, they're from Kaepernick, Alex Smith. They were like, "Oh, Kaepernick's good. We'll stay with that." And then when they got who was it took over for Garoppolo? Brock Purdy took over for Garoppolo? I can't remember. Yeah. So he took over for Garoppolo, and now Purdy's out, and you're going to see somebody take over for him. So they're not shy about staying with whomever the hot hand is and kind of making that their franchise guy. So yeah, shout out to Mac, man. But
and all the injuries they've been dealing with, too. Especially, I mean,
that's become the story of the 49ers.
Like, the last three or four seasons, they've just been banged up.
Since that Super Bowl, and even a little bit before that Super Bowl, like a couple years before that, that's been kind of the story of San Francisco. And so I got to be honest, I'm not mad at it. I'm not a Frisco fan. I have a lot of friends that are San Francisco fans, which is almost impossible to be if you live in the Northwest. You're going to run into a lot of California-based football fans and everything. But so I'm not mad at it. Bang, bang.
Well, it was because of that old AM radio signal when we were kids, Rashad. Even on a cloudy day, it would make its way up here. Like, I still remember hearing San Francisco Giants radio, like, here in Oregon on weird, like, cloudy summer nights when it was clear. So it's just that influence of people moving up here. And I don't know, like, on top of that, just always seeing San Francisco 49ers gear for some reason in Salem, Oregon, where I'm from, for sale. So yeah, a lot of Niners fans here.
A lot of West Coast stuff. A lot of West Coast stuff.
It's going to be easier, though, for them to trade Mac Jones. I just don't think you can get off of Brock Purdy, and trading that contract is going to be a little difficult. And what Mac Jones can get for you at the top of his value after a season like he's had so far, like going into the offseason, especially with all the injuries they've dealt with.
I mean, but there might be a lot of teams out there that look at Brock Purdy and say, you know what, we can do something with that. There might be a couple out there. I don't know who they are, but we've seen crazier things. We didn't think that Sam Darnold would get the money that he got over the summer, but he did. So
no, I get that. It's just really hard for a team basically now committing a lot of money to a guy that, you know, you really didn't plan on. That's usually when you have a rookie quarterback around for 3 or 4 years, then you give him the bag, but you had the advantage, like the Commanders do right now, of a cheaper Jaden Daniels, of, for the Texans, a cheaper C.J. Stroud before those big deals get signed. Like, the Chargers took advantage of a couple of good years from Justin Herbert before they gave him the bag. Like, and that's kind of when quarterbacks started getting near that 50 mil. So I just don't see a team taking that on immediately. It just doesn't
seem
like
things have happened.
Easy.
There was
a
team that took on a Deshaun Watson for like $250 million, something like that.
Find
so
a stupid team, sure.
Cleveland Browns
will do it. Yeah,
we've
seen
crazier things. But speaking of crazy things, it is going bonkers right now in Eugene, Oregon. Game day is in town. Pat McAfee came out in a dope ass Oregon jacket. I see a lot of Devo hats. Yeah, I saw he ripped it off and everything. But the jacket itself was fresh, so I'm not going to front. But see a lot of Devo hats out there. I'm not sure why, but go for it, Oregon. That environment out there, I called my little sister this morning. She's a freshman at Oregon.
Yeah.
So it was like 5:30. I kind of knew the answer because, number one, she's not a football fan. Number two, she's not a fan of most things.
Okay.
And so give her a call. Like, what's up? Why are you calling me? She's like, what are you talking about? Why am I calling you? Like, what are you doing? Are you up? Are you going to the thing? What thing? That's a no. Okay, yeah, just seeing if she was going to college game day, but it is a crazy environment out there right now. You look at all the flags, you look at all the Oregon fans. This environment today for Oregon should be great. It says on the ticket to wear all black. By the way, I'm going to the game right after we leave this show.
Yeah,
I am on my way to Eugene. First game of the season for me, so I'm super, super excited to see these Ducks play against the Trojans. But have you been to a college game day, I assume, yeah?
Yeah, when I was younger.
Do you remember who was playing?
Can't remember if it was the USC game or what. It was just more about being there, and I was kind of drunk. So
yeah, that sounds about right. You know, that's how the story starts. I was there. I was pretty drunk. So yeah, that's how. I don't know if I'm gonna do too much drinking today, but I'm definitely gonna have a good time and watch these Ducks. Hopefully, pull off something great, man. And we're gonna talk about that because it is a 12:40 kick. And it's going to be right here on 105.1 The Fan. You can listen to that. And we're going to talk about what the Ducks need to do to win this game. I think we all kind of know what it is, but we've seen the Ducks show some weaknesses over the past, I don't know, 5 weeks or so, 5 or 6 weeks. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Also, Jordan kind of previewed it. Who is the best team in the AFC? You got 4 teams currently with an 8-2 record, but are they the best team? We'll rank them worst to first. Obviously, who do you love? We got a lot more here on the show. But what do you say we get it started, huh?
Oh, I think that there's just so much to talk about, man. It's been a crazy start to basketball season into the middle of football season, man. This whole sports equinox time has just, it's continued to flood us with just so many things.
Oh, man, the Blazers gave us more to talk about last night. Finally, they were able to get a win, so that makes them 2 of their last 6 games, I think, they've played. So
snap that losing streak, didn't they?
I guess that means they're trending the right way. So if we have some time, we'll definitely get into some Blazers stuff. But first, Ducks play host to the USC Trojans right here, 105.1 The Fan. We're going to talk about that next, coming up.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Huge game, huge implications today at Autzen Stadium. Top 15 matchup, as you mentioned, Jordan. The Oregon Ducks facing off against, I don't want to call them a rival, but kind of. In the USC Trojans, it's been some bad blood. I wouldn't call this like a rivalry, but both teams have got a few dubs on each other. Maybe not over the last couple of years, but they have. And I mean, at least it's a traditional Pac-12 rivalry, right? Pac-10, Pac-12.
Yeah.
So I guess we can say that. You know, these teams have faced off against each other more than Oregon's facing against a lot of the other teams in the Big Ten. So for that reason, you know, because there is some history, some tradition there.
I think you make a good point.
I guess you can consider it a rivalry.
The trajectory of the programs, like USC kind of on the downswing a little bit in the late 2000s, obviously still played for national championship. I'm not saying that they were complete ass, but like that was the time when Oregon was starting to rise and USC stopped winning everything all the time.
Yeah.
You go back to like it was.
There was a while that USC was raking up all the Heismans, all the national championships.
Exactly.
Like it was annoying.
And just the, as you talk about the Pac-12 history, you know, for these two schools, the recruiting battles, I think that's where really, if you talk about rivalries, I think it was pretty annoying to USC when Oregon started winning those recruiting battles for Southern California kids like Travis Dye coming up here, obviously finished his
that was the change.
Back
that
at
was,
USC. But
that
yeah,
was there, the swing.
Exactly. There was a lot of kids starting to come to Oregon after the flashy uniforms, after everything they had on campus. And, you know, that is what caused other programs in college football to start to elevate their game and compete with that Nike money. But the history at USC as a school, unmatched. Like, you can't.
No,
do
yeah,
I
you,
hate USC?
I mean,
yes, but damn, they're amazing.
Yeah,
so
there's
this is a rivalry game, I would say.
The list of Hall of Famers, football Hall of Famers for USC, it's insane. You're talking the Marcus Allens of the world.
Ronnie
You're talking
Lott.
The Rodney Lotts of the world. Like, I mean, it's just different. But as of late, for the last, let's say, 15 years, I think Oregon has been the premier West Coast school. Coming into this game, in the AP, Oregon is sitting at 6th and USC is at 16th. But in the college football ranking, Oregon is at 7th and USC is at 15th. So a win for USC today would mean, and we're just assuming, right, assuming that they're going to win their next game. But a win for USC would put them in the college football playoff for sure. A loss for Oregon would more than likely take them out. I just kind of feel like, you know, unfortunately, because it's not the SEC, even though the Big Ten is the second most competitive conference in college football, depending on whom you're talking to, I don't think Oregon has the, number one, the schedule and the cachet to say, like, with their two losses, they would belong in the playoff.
Yeah, unfortunately, with the Penn State, just absolute dumpster fire. what that turned into.
Who knew? Season. How did that happen? Remember, all we talked about was Josh or Aller to come into the season.
I know.
That's all we talked
about.
It's
like, oh, can Oregon beat Drew Aller? Can Oregon beat this new, very loaded offense now? The transfers that Penn State has added at wide receiver, the skill positions that they have coming back. Like, you know, there was a lot of talk that it was going to be, you know,
Michigan
State as the wart for Oregon on the schedule. And now we're here after the loss to Indiana and looking at USC possibly overtaking Oregon in the college football playoff. It's what we were talking about in the first segment, Rashad. Nobody had this as Oregon's schedule, you know, coming into the final two games. These are now must wins, you know, here hosting USC and at Washington next week, which
definitely
is
a rivalry.
It's going to be no gimme. And obviously, yeah, the I-5 rivalry and Husky hate week, everything's going to be out next week. But yeah, these last 2 weeks, man, Oregon's really got to take care of business. But that Big Ten, just the top of that conference, so loaded, unfortunately, Rashad, that is why they are in this position. And there's just so many things that Oregon does well, but I think the home field advantage today is going to be what gets it done for Oregon. USC's done okay at home. Defensively on the road, they just haven't been good this season. Their offense has been all right, but Oregon, thankfully, coming off of a game that we saw Dante Moore really have that get-right session that fans were hoping for. The 300-plus yards, multiple touchdowns, ran it out a couple of times, just looked comfortable again, threw a touchdown for the first time in over a month. I think that if there wasn't as good of an offensive performance last week for Oregon, you'd be a little more scared coming into this game. But yeah, Rashad, this is huge. It's just, it's nuts to me that this is the situation that Oregon is in. Once again, all the history attached to Oregon-USC, and yeah, frustrating, but if they lose because of the way that the season has gone, Oregon now later in the year after losing to Indiana, and Penn State now basically looking like, honestly, as good of a win maybe as Oregon State. Like, I would say that is not given much weight at all, because Penn State, man, they have gone 1-6 in
after that game,
play
it was
so
a nosedive.
Yeah, they are
out. They lost their coach. You know?
Exactly. So nobody's giving any credit to any team for beating Penn State. And because of that, oh, man, Oregon-USC going to be huge today. But I'm excited. I think Oregon can get it done. I picked 35-20 as the final score earlier this week on recruiting with Andrew Dimmick.
Ooh.
So Ducky's win.
That sounds like a good score. I do think Oregon will win by at least a touchdown and a half. So maybe, you know, 10 points. So
I think that's where the spread is, about 9.5.
I'm going to say closer to, like, you know, 30-20, somewhere around there. You know, I think that could be, you know, 27-17. You know, I think that could be a good thing. The one thing that I will say, and I don't want to go negative. I'm gonna make sure we do this first so we can get this out of the way, right? Get all the weird out of the way.
Yeah.
The one thing that I've seen, and you can tell me if I'm different, and fans, make sure you let us know if I'm wrong. But I've seen an Oregon team that's been exposed in certain ways over the last, like, 6 weeks. You've seen where the weaknesses have been exposed. Red zone defense, you know, hasn't been great. The team has kind of struggled to prevent opponents from scoring touchdowns, and they get into the red zone, and they kind of, I don't know. Their touchdown percentage isn't great, you know, in the red zone. You know, handling quick passes, you know, on defense has been tough for them. Watching the quarterback get it out of their hands really fast has been kind of a thorn in the side for Oregon. Their inability to tackle, like, in space, you know, has been tough. So I think if there's a few of those things just on defense they can fix. Offensively, it's been third downs. They struggled on third downs, which I don't know if I'm not super used to seeing. But to watch them, you know, go three and out, you know, a whole lot has been different for an Oregon squad. And so I think if they can fix that and really fix their short game situations, short game passing, I think that can be a huge, huge upside for them. But I think that's where we've seen them struggle, you know, against that Penn State game was closer than I think a lot of people wanted it to be. Obviously, the Iowa game, and you were playing at Iowa, it was cold, all those things. Yeah. So a lot of that came into play. So if they can kind of fix a lot of that today, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, this isn't necessarily a key to a win today for me, but maybe like a 3A key or a 3B key, if you will. Like, Oregon not playing to USC's game, making USC bend to them, that's going to be something that you need to see today. It's what you saw last week against Minnesota when they played Iowa a couple of weeks before that, before the bye. That was when Oregon lowered themselves to Iowa's kind of football game. And I understand that that's what Iowa does, but it's frustrating for me when you're talking about this prolific offense that we expect. Like, all of a sudden, they get stifled because, oh, look, teams watched film on them. Like, I get it. Like, everybody's trying out there. Iowa's decent, okay? And obviously, Indiana isn't what we thought they were. Kurt Cignetti now coached himself into a bag, and the Hoosiers basketball program is now the Hoosiers football program. Like, none of us thought that this was, like, they were kind of on the up and up, but none of us thought that this was where they were going to end up this
season. Super athletic, super fast,
and,
right?
Yeah, and a Heisman Trophy quarterback, maybe, albeit a weak class, but with Fernando Mendoza transferring and kind of, you know, that final piece of an offense making it click, for sure. That it's just, it's a spot where I just don't, once again, don't think Oregon thought that they were going to be. They've had 500 yard performances on offense this year, I think five total. If you count last game against Minnesota, it was 510. So they've shown us those flashes, Rashad. That's what's frustrating to me, and that's why I don't think that Oregon should be playing down to an Iowa or should be playing down to an Indiana. Like, they have talent. They've got spots that have been filled by five stars. DeCorian Moore, though, not in. But Kenyon Sadiq, when he's back, huge. So, yeah, they've been dealing with injuries, a couple of points. And maybe, you know, I need to get off of them because they just had none of their weapons against Iowa. Like, the first play when they connected with Gary Bryant Jr. for like a 20-30 yard, nice one down the field. Oh, he's down with an ankle injury. And you just kind of had to fight for the win. And they did rush well that day. And that is something that they're going to need to do well today. Run the ball. But that is one thing that they have been successful at all season, so I don't expect that to be any different, Rashad. Yeah.
And you know, Jaden Maivia, it should be noted that he is no Fernando Mendoza. However, he can still get it done. You know, he can throw the ball through the air. He doesn't have the number of touchdowns that Fernando Mendoza has, but he is still a very, very capable quarterback. And we saw Mendoza pretty much expose those Oregon linebackers and that secondary, you know. And so as long as this defense, and I don't foresee USC's defense dominating the trenches, you know, the way Indiana did, you know, but as long as Oregon can really do what they're supposed to do, I don't foresee any rain. So I don't know if Dante Moore is going to have a huge, huge problem moving the ball through the air, but we've seen when weather is a factor. So last I saw, it was going to be 53 and clear today. Might be a little bit of clouds at some point, but it's going to be 53 and clear for the game. So he should be able to throw the ball with relative ease. So I don't really foresee too many problems, you know, for this Oregon offense. It's really the defense that I'm wondering how they're going to stand up.
Yeah, I hear you, man. That's one thing that USC, we were talking, I think I made the point last segment, that just on the defensive side of the ball on the road, they're really not good. But their offense has been okay home or away. And Maivia's got two huge weapons in, I think it's Makai Lemon and Jacoby Lane. I always forget Lane's last name. But man, dude, Lemon, he's the guy that will slot for you. He can be your star wide receiver. He can be the guy that, like, gets you, you know, the 10 yards on a 3rd and 9 to get the first down, like, inside on top of the linebackers. There's just so many things that Lemon can do that gives Maivia so many options. And then Jacoby Lane, he's your guy on the outside, right? He's running you down and catching those deep balls and running the routes, just basically burning the hell out of your safeties. So there are so many things that they can do well on offense for USC. But Oregon has the top passing defense in the nation, Rashad.
They do.
This is going to be that power versus power matchup when it comes to offenses that we've seen. And I think this is probably the most prolific offensive matchup for both teams that Oregon's had all year.
All right. We're going to keep this conversation going because there's so much to talk about, man. What else do the Ducks need to do to be able to win this game against the USC Trojans?
I got three keys.
Do you?
I got three keys for you.
I got a couple keys too.
All right.
And so we'll talk about those keys when we come back. But first, Jordan has sports.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
6:31, this beautiful Saturday morning, this beautiful game day Saturday. 12:30 kick between the Oregon Ducks and the USC Trojans at Autzen Stadium, right here on 105.1 The Fan and 1080 The Fan and The Fan Network. It should be an amazing, amazing game. I'm thinking only positive things. And there's a lot that needs, there's a lot defensively for me that needs to happen for the Ducks to win this game. I think they have to limit USC's red zone efficiency. You know, they got it. USC is really, really good in the red zone. If nothing else, like, that's really kind of where they're able to thrive a little bit. And so
yeah.
Oregon's defense has got to be able to stop them from scoring touchdowns when they get close. I think that's the main thing. So they got to settle for field goals at this point, because if you let them get to that 20-yard line, their own 20-yard line, there's a good chance that USC is going to put it in the end zone. So I think that's the first thing defensively. Red zone defensive efficiency has to be good. There you go.
Absolutely. Let me just try to burn through mine really quickly, Rashad. Okay, so we were talking about Maiava and the weapons that he has in Lemon and Lane, and I think that that's going to be one big point of emphasis for Tosh Lapoy and the Ducks defense, is just hurrying him a lot. I don't need to see a sack on Maiava today, but I want to see Amari Washington. I want to see Bear Alexander getting in the backfield. I think they need to give a heavy rush up front to challenge Maiava and just make his day really rough.
Yeah, they can make big plays down the field,
exactly,
for sure.
If he's scrambling, if it's hard for him to find his two big weapons, then Oregon's going to succeed, because they've already – I'm not worried about, you know, the back four. The safeties and the cornerbacks, they're the best of the nation. Like, those guys have handled their business. Now, it's not like they're facing off against Jeremiah Smith today, you know, for Ohio State. They are facing off, though, against talented guys. Like, Mekhi Lemon, dude, if I didn't have Smith on my team, I'd want Mekhi Lemon. Like, this guy, I'm telling you, like, he is a stud, and any big play that USC's needed to be converted this season,
he's been the one.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, his name's in there. Lemon, again. And he's already over 1,000 yards receiving this year, so obviously been the guy. Been a key component of USC's offense, so you gotta disrupt that. Number two, Oregon needs to get out early, Rashad, and they need to score. They need to do just the same thing they did against Minnesota and take advantage of their first couple of drives and get out to an early damn lead. I honestly, out of all the things that Oregon doesn't do well, or you talk about mistakes that they've had under Dan Lanning, or, you know, inability to win the big game, I think the biggest reason for that, playing a 60-minute game and the inability to do so. They've got to open up strong. When they open up strong, it seems like Oregon is unbeatable. So that's key number two for me. Score on your first couple of drives. Keep your cleat on the throat of USC. And number three, I think there's going to be fourth downs on both sides today, Rashad. I think USC is going to have to go for a few. I think Oregon's going to have to go for a few. You got to win the fourth down battle. Oregon, is very, very, they're just so good under Dan Lanning in those situations, and they're very, very aggressive, which I love. I personally, if I were a head coach, I'd be going for it. This is risky, but like on 4th and 2, 4th and 3, even a 4th and 4, it's kind of where the statistics start to get away, and it's just not as easy to convert. I'd be willing to do that on my own 30, 35-yard line. And frankly, that's the kind of reckless abandon that Dan Lanning has in fourth-down situations sometimes. So I need to see them convert on those today.
And I think for them to convert on those, I talked about how important it is going to be on 3rd down to really convert. But really, it's going to come down to your run game. And I think that's going to be another big key of mine, is they have to control the clock with the run. Oregon, you know, between Noah Whittington and Jordan Davidson and Hill, and, you know, they got some guys in the backfield that can make things happen. And you can really keep bodies fresh and kind of keep, you know, cycling people in there to make plays for you. So I think if they can really control the clock with the run, that can be a huge thing for them. You know, Oregon should really just lean on, like I said, that stable of running backs that they have to just wear down UFC's front seven and just kind of do that over and over and over again. So, and then because no DeCorian Moore again, which to my knowledge, they still haven't come out and said that it is an MCL, ACL, Achilles, whatever.
Yeah,
we don't know what it is. We don't really know.
We just know that he's down.
Know that he's down, which I think is a big loss for the Oregon Ducks, obviously, because on USC's end, they do have their star. They do have their big receiver there that's obviously over 1,000 yards on the season in Lemon. So that's going to be a huge thing for them. But also, you mentioned it too, they have to minimize USC's plays through the air. You know, one thing Jaden Maiava is able to do is throw the ball, and obviously to his future first-round pick of a wide receiver. And so I think Oregon has to do a great job. You keep mentioning it, Jordan. They have the best pass defense in the country.
Yep.
And so Oregon is really tough to move the ball against through the air. And hopefully this is the day where that defense doesn't crack and they're able to do exactly what they've been advertised to do, which is shut down great quarterbacks that aren't named Mendoza.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of man-on-man today. Or it's just, for the way that USC plays, I don't know how much zone Oregon's going to be able to get away with. Like, and then one guy that's kind of shown up in the last few games later in the season, Jaden Kennedy, oh my goodness, along with Bear Alexander, I think both of those guys are going to have huge games today. Kennedy seemed like he was in on every play against Minnesota last week, and that's kind of what I'm saying that doesn't worry me, you know, about Oregon's front four, or their front seven, I guess, is what I'm talking about. They're strong there. There's been a couple of weak points this season, but against a team like USC where you're really worried about pressuring the quarterback, like as opposed to your cornerbacks, which are the best in the nation defending their big wide receivers, like we've seen them do it. So I expect them to be able to make Maiava really, really uncomfortable today.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I don't think that they need to sack him. But if they cause, like, I think they had 4 or 5 hurries and a couple of sacks on Minnesota's quarterback last week. And that was them beating them down. I'm assuming there's going to be a lot more big plays from USC today. So I need to see, like, 10 hurries. I need to see them in the backfield all the time. But I've seen Oregon's front seven be able to do that because of guys like Kennedy and because of guys like Bear Alexander.
Yeah. USC is not a bad team, but the truth is they do struggle to win and to close out games. I think that's the big thing. We've seen them in certain games to where they probably should win this, and then something happens to where they've shown signs of trying to overcome these things in the past few weeks, but I think that's still there. Defensively, they struggle with penalties. And I think that's a big thing. So if Oregon can draw them off sides a couple times, get a few extra yards just based on some mistakes by USC, I think that's a great thing. And then let's just be honest, USC's run defense isn't great. They can't stop the run.
Nope.
And that's what Oregon needs to lean on today. Notre Dame combined for 315 yards against them. Nebraska had 165 yards and a touchdown against them. Iowa, who was Iowa and didn't run the ball well, they combined for almost 200 yards on the ground, you know, against them. So it's they're not great running the ball. I think Oregon has a great stable of running backs, and if they're able to really use those guys, like I mentioned, this has the potential of being a blowout game. I don't think it will be, but if Oregon does what they're supposed to do the right way, I think USC has too many little holes in certain parts of their game, right? Certain things that are going to cost them. And against the Ducks, you can't give up penalties. You're not going to get, if this team is playing the way they played last week and Dante Moore is on his game the way he played last week, then you don't want to give them too many penalties. So I kind of look at a lot of those things. A lot of this is going to be Lincoln Riley telling his team, stay focused. Don't listen to the crowd. Don't worry about the cold. Don't do any of that stuff. Stay focused. Do what you have to do out there, because I think you're looking at a Ducks team that knows that they can't lose again. This is it. They're not going to the Big Ten championship. I think we all kind of know that at this point, unless there's a crazy meltdown with the two teams up top over the next couple of weeks. I think they know they're not going there, which I don't know could provide some comfort for you.
I think it's
knowing
better
that you don't have to have an additional game, and knowing that additional game could potentially knock you out of contention all the way as far as being in the playoffs.
I think the conference championship game now hurts you in the college football playoff. It's an extra game some teams don't need to play. And frankly, if you're less beat up, you've got an advantage going into the month of December. Like, that's just, we've got to change the system. It's just now not rewarding conference championship games anymore. That was more of like a 2010 to 2016 kind of a thing in college football. But yeah, honestly, I find comfort in that. And I also find comfort in what you just mentioned, Rashad, Oregon's ability to run the ball. I expect Noah Whittington today and Jordan Davison to each get near 100 yards like they've been. I've been talking about it now for weeks. I feel like this is possibly the best running back combo since like a Kenyon Barner, LaMichael James combination that Oregon has had. You're looking at Jordan Davison turning into like a LeGarrette Blount now, turning into like a Royce Freeman after possibly only being like a goal line touchdown option. You know, he was at the beginning of the season like TD Leakio. Cyrus Abebe Leakio was Oregon's short yardage guy a few years back. Davison now has expanded his profile to be, frankly, one of the best young running backs in the country. And on top of that, dude, Jay Harris, De'Aaron Hill, there's guys that you don't have reps for at this point of the season at running back. Well, hell, Rashad, you're injured at wide receiver, so why don't you go put them in the slot? Why not mess with USC a little bit and give them some looks that they haven't seen on tape? I think that actually is something Oregon can do today as well. That will take them over the top. I just don't think USC has the horses to match what Oregon has on offense.
Oh, well, you might be right, man, and I guess we'll see. 12:30 kick right here on 105.1 The Fan, 1080 The Fan, The Fan Network, man. And after this show, make sure you listen to Ducks Game Day. Anthony Newman, Andy Dirt Johnson, Dusty Bossman Hera, they're all going to be down there. This is a huge game. It's going to be a great environment. Your boy is down there, too.
Woo.
I can't wait, man. I'm looking forward to it. So make sure you check out Oregon hosting USC, getting that big dub today, and keeping their playoff hopes alive.
I hope you see some tight ends getting some catches today too, Rashad, because we briefly mentioned Kenyon Sadiq earlier on.
Oh, those tight ends. Okay.
Having the best.
The way you said it, I wasn't sure where you were going.
No.
Like, okay.
We're talking football, bro.
Okay, yeah.
God, it's a little too early
No,
for that,
the way you said it, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure.
No. Watch for the tight end play on the field, Kenyon Sadiq, but, you know, the other guys like Jamari Johnson, Salapayaga stepping in, having those impact games. I mean, Kenyon Sadiq has been one of the key weapons for Oregon all season. It was
one of the best tight ends in college football.
It was obvious when he was out, and then to have him come back and have one of the best, or excuse me, not one of the best game of his career so far, catching a touchdown and going over near 100 yards last week against Minnesota.
He looks like Abdul Carter playing tight end. Like, it's just this giant of a person.
And that tight end play, Rashad, is so key to Oregon's success in the Big Ten. I just feel like with the way that college football is now, the front four compared to Oregon's offensive line now, it's not, you know, fast spread style football anymore. It's down in the trenches. Tight ends that can do anything like that, that can block, that can get out and catch, and freakish athletes. Honestly, like Jamari Johnson, he looks like a freakish athlete. No one was really talking about that at the beginning of the season. So I hope, Rashad, on top of everything that we have just discussed, that you see some great tight end play today, because, man, that has been a key to Oregon's success so far this year as well. And I just hope they keep it going. I think that There are just so many things that when they're going right, make Oregon unbeatable, my friend. And that is why at one point in this year, I'm like, oh, national championship. Let's go. Oh, okay. Nope. Lost to Indiana. I'm going to back off that a little bit. It's just so hard to track how good this team actually is, but I think we can agree on their potential, Rashad.
Yes, we can.
They're still young, but they have the potential to get there. Maybe not to compete against an Ohio State, but they have the potential to get there.
Well, they definitely have the potential to get there, and it starts right now. A big win against USC will go a long way as far as proving that Oregon is ready for a national championship. Coming up, let's wrap up the hour. Blazers had a big win last night. Are they back on the right track? Question mark? Well, I guess we'll talk about it right here. Sports Saturday on The Fan. Blazers get a big dub last night against the Warriors. Take that, San Francisco. How's it feel? Yeah, that's two losses to the Trailblazers in one calendar year for the Golden State Warriors. As always, Denny Avia was phenomenal in his game last night. Avia ended the game with, let me see, 26 points, 14 assists, 6 rebounds. He also had 6 turnovers, but who cares, because he has 14 assists and also 26 points. He was absolutely great. Had a career high from Donovan Clingan, 22 points, 10 rebounds, man. That's a great sign from Clingan. I get into a lot of trouble as a Blazer fan because I'm never quite satisfied with what I'm seeing. Not saying that, you know, I dislike a lot of it, but like Donovan Clingan, you can tell he's been obviously he's been a giant his entire life. And he's dominated kids his entire life without having to have any offensive moves. Like, you know, Donovan Clingan doesn't have one go-to. And I think that bothers me because to be that big, and he doesn't have hands. How many times have we seen him try to go for a rebound? It slips through his fingers or he gets the ball and he fumbles it on the way to the basket, like something like that. But last night, he played his little heart out with 22 points, 9 for 14 from the field. He was great. If Donovan Clingan can play like that even a little bit, I think this Blazer team can be good in the future. But right now, it's so hard to judge this team because they're missing all their dudes, man. Everybody's out. Shaden's out. Drew Holiday's out. Jeremy Grant missed a game the other day. Obviously, you've got...
and he was obviously still sick last night because I don't think he hit a shot.
No. He didn't make a shot, you know? Ugh. So, you know, Jeremy Grant... had 5 points, 0 for 8. And I'm gonna give him that. I'm gonna give him that pass.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like I think he was sick still. Like yeah. He's been probable due to illness the last 2-3 games. Yeah.
And Jeremy Grant has been the Blazers' second best player this year so far this season. Jeremy Grant has. This is what you wished he would have been when Dame was actually here, right? If he'd have been this guy, maybe the Blazers were sitting in a different space, and Dame didn't ask to leave. But either way, Jeremy Grant is playing great off the bench. Tumani Kamara, 20 points last night, 7 rebounds, no steals, no blocks, which is rare for him. But obviously his impact on defense can't be overlooked. This Blazer team played well against a Warriors team that's really they're not a good team. I don't know where Jimmy Butler is. Jimmy Butler was 5 for 15 last night, 20 points. He doesn't look he had 8 rebounds, so it's not like he didn't play terrible, but he doesn't look like the Jimmy Butler that we saw in Miami. He doesn't look like the guy that he was even really, really good when he played in Philly. Like, go look up his Philadelphia numbers. Jimmy Butler was a monster when he played there. But he just doesn't look like himself right now. And I'm wondering what the issue is in Golden State, because that's what I left that game thinking. Like, what's going on with the Warriors more than good job, Blazers, great win, Blazers. Obviously, you're happy about it. But, damn, what the hell happened to the Warriors? There's no chance the Warriors would ever let that happen 3-4 years ago.
They're just getting old, man. Like, it's just, it is what it is. Like, these aren't the Golden State Warriors of 2018.
But yeah,
like,
but
there's
now
no Klay Thompson anymore. There's no Sean Clay. Livingston off the bench. There's no Andre Iguodala. Like, what are we talking about?
There's no Klay, but Jimmy Butler's always been better than Klay, right? You know what I'm saying? So,
can Jimmy Butler hit 3-pointers?
Probably not.
Exactly. That is literally what Golden State does.
Not at the clip that Klay could. But yeah,
exactly.
Klay doesn't look like he can hit him either.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he looks pretty tough too.
He fit into the offense a lot better.
Unless he's playing the Blazers.
In those stretches than Jimmy Butler does right now.
Yeah, unless he's playing the Blazers, he couldn't really hit those either. But last night, Stephen Curry did all that he could, 14 for 23 for 38 points.
He still looked great.
Steph still looks great. So, yes, the team might be old. Steph Curry might be old. don't matter. I do like that he came into the game rocking the green Oregon threes. So I thought that was a little bit of a shot. Like, yeah, I know where I'm at. Yeah, I know where you are.
Yeah.
But Stephen Curry is still Stephen Curry, you know, unfortunately for the rest of the league that has to play him. But I, you know, when Shaden's out, Drew Holiday's out, you know, Young decided, well, they decided he wasn't going to play, even though he needs these minutes right now. If you have all these guys out, doesn't make sense to not have him in there. But you did have a great game from young Caleb Love. He shot 20 times, but he got you 26 points and 7 rebounds and 5 assists. So he had a really, really complete game, and he really helped this Trailblazers team out last night. The one thing I do like, and this is why I'm reserving judgment until everybody comes back, what they showed us at the beginning of the season is if everybody is healthy, this is arguably the best defensive team in the league.
Yeah.
Right now, we don't have everybody. Thibault's going to be out. Wesley is going to be out for X amount of time. Scoot Henderson hasn't touched the floor at any point this year.
Yeah,
you get your dudes back, and then we're hearing it might be another 4 weeks until Scoot is reevaluated. So yeah. Sorry, Blazer fans, and it might take us a little bit to get back to our, well, I won't say winning ways, but at least back to our defensive ways.
Better, you know, with him off the court, honestly. Hot take, but not.
Yeah, it's definitely a hot take. Why do you hate Scoot?
You
hate him.
We don't need to do this again.
I've tried this
1,000 times. My quick sentence that he's not what we thought he was, and they traded to draft him. He's Antonio Daniels,
right?
And literally, go look at their stat lines.
Nothing like Antonio Daniels.
No, he is. Scoot Henderson is literally Antonio Daniels plus a tiny bit of three-point shooting ability, which really is only there because Antonio Daniels was in an era where they were told to shoot threes as often. So that's why. But anyways.
Yeah, I watched Antonio Daniels play too. He couldn't play defense like Scoot. He couldn't get to the basket like Scoot.
Yes, he
couldn't
did.
Do a
that's,
lot of stuff.
That's literally all he did.
He was okay. He was okay, but he definitely wasn't Scoot. But either way, not having that guy on this Blazers team, and even if Scoot is Antonio Daniels, he could be a great part of a lot of really, really good teams. And Scoot Henderson not being there for this Blazers squad definitely hurts them right now. But you're able to get some production from some of your young guys, right?
Yep.
You're able to see, and I can never say his name right. Is it Sissoko?
Sissoko.
Sissoko. Okay, very good. Sissoko was able to contribute with 15 points last night on 6 of 11 shooting. So you're able to see that happen. But for me, even through the losses, and the Blazers are 3-7 over their last 10.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not winning a lot of games lately. But also, they're missing all their dudes. Drew Holiday, and I spoke about this before on the show, is playing the best basketball of his career, in my opinion. His ability to get to his spots and really walk his opponent to wherever he wants to be on the floor and get a shot off has been huge for this team. I think defensively, he brings a mindset that I think Tumani Kamara already had. I think Donovan Klingon already kind of had those defensive instincts at the rim anyway. So you pair that with what Drew Holiday is able to bring, it's infectious. So if three of your five guys on the floor want to play defense, well, damn, if I'm Jeremy Grant, if I'm Denny Avia, who has been a great defender so far this year, who's been a really good defender so far this year. Denny Avia has really stepped it up on both ends, you know, as a defender. Might not get a lot of steals and blocks, but he makes things difficult for whomever is guarding him. And I think that's all you can really ask for on defense. I don't care if you block shots or I don't care if you get steals. Do you change shots? Do you make it difficult for opponents to bring the ball up the floor? Great. That's what I'm looking for. Like, everything shouldn't be easy. He's done a great job of making sure things aren't.
Yeah, Portland got out last night to a pretty early lead, and outside of the second quarter, I didn't really feel like Golden State was able to do much other than, like, at the end of the game, getting it close. Like, they just looked like they were shooting well all night. When Klingon's, I mean, God, he doesn't play many minutes, but you got to look at the efficiency. I think he played under 30 minutes again, but double-double, 22 points. Like, that is how you win ball games. And then we've talked about Portland not hitting shots this year being one of the big reasons why they lose games. I think they shot over 35% from three-point land last night. So regardless of who's on the floor, if it's Sissoko hitting shots, if it's like Caleb Love coming off the bench and hitting threes, they can win the game. And with the defense, I'm not sure that that early season defense, Rashad, is sustainable. I think that might be one of the reasons why Portland is suffering from so many injuries right now. To me, I made this point earlier this week on Primetime. It's kind of comparable to like when Rick Pitino started coaching the Celtics in the late 90s, and he brought that college full court press style to NBA games. And literally 10 games into the season, guys were exhausted. And I've seen interviews from some of the most athletic NBA players of that era, and they're talking about how, like, man, like, I liked playing that style, but it was just hard on my body. And that's just what this defensive style is that you saw the Blazers playing earlier in the season. It's just not sustainable. And it's hard on the body.
I would agree with that if the Blazers went 7 deep, 8 deep on their bench. But now that you're getting Caleb Loves in the game, you're getting, you know, other guys really involved in what the team is able to do.
That's a
they can go deep. And mind you, right now, you can't press right now because you've got 7 players on the bench that can't play. So you got a whole starting roster and 2 other guys that just aren't even available for you right now. So if they're there, the great thing about playing that defense is you can consistently throw guys in there, which is why OKC is so good at it, because they can go 10 deep on their bench and keep pressuring you and keep pressing you, keep leaning on you until things go wrong. And that's exactly what the Blazers have if they're able to get all their dudes back. So speaking of OKC, that's their next game.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's a big one, because last time OKC played the Blazers, they gave them their 1 loss on their record. So there's a good chance they're saying OKC goes like 76-4 or something stupid like that, 78-4, something silly. Considering how many guys they have, I can see it. But that game is tomorrow at 4 p.m. at OKC, so we'll see what's happening. We'll see who's not going to play tomorrow. I guess that's going to tell us everything we know, because I guarantee OKC want some revenge for what happened last time.
I mean, it'll probably be the same lineup that we saw yesterday for the Blazers. Like, it's going to be Chris Murray off the bench. You hope that Robert Williams can play, because you need him. If Hanson isn't going to get any minutes, like, you've got to have Robert Williams in there. Otherwise, you got to go to Duop Reith. And then other than that, it's Caleb Love, who just had 1 good game, and then Ryan Rupaire, who's been ass. Like, that's the thing, Rashad, is this is dependent right now on shooting. You know, whoever these guys are, they could put out that defensive effort, but at this point, if you're not hitting threes, you're not going to win the game as the Blazers.
No, you're not. So there's a lot for them to do, and I guess they have to figure it out, and tomorrow's going to be a tough task against the defending champion. So we'll see what it is. Man, coming up next, second hour, man, there are a lot of teams in the AFC, a lot of them doing really, really well. But of every division leader, who's the best? We'll rank them worst to first, and we'll get into some other NFL action. We're going to do that next, second hour, right here. Sports Saturday on The Fan.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.